Toki, Minimili, Santi, welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast fully dedicated to Toki Pona. As you might have heard from previous episode, I first started introducing what Toki Pona is. And if you're here, you probably already know what it is. So if you don't, it'd be really cool. Like if you want to join to this kind of project and community-based project on getting Toki Pona out there, right? So listen to previous episode if you haven't, just to know what the intentions are for this podcast. But just a brief overview. I am striving to make all of this podcast, like the whole of it, in Toki Pona. But until then, until I learn it fully, I'm going to do it in English and I'm going to be documenting my process of learning it. So I've heard from a variety of sources how long it takes to learn Toki Pona. And you're probably wondering the same. You probably heard it takes 30 hours in total. So just for a bit of comparison that I mentioned in previous episode, they say that learning English, if you were to add up all of the hours invested into learning the language, it would take like 1,000 hours, right? Esperanto, in case you're familiar with it, the international language, takes from 150 hours to 300 hours. And people say that Toki Pona only takes 30 hours, right? So I want to prove that. I want to test that. So what I've been doing is, on previous episode, it was day one of me starting to learn Toki Pona. Since then, it's been 8 days. So this is day 8. I've been making some progress every day, dedicating a varied amount of time. Some days I dedicate 10 minutes. Some other days I dedicate an hour. A couple of days I got pretty excited and I dedicated like 2 hours of learning Toki Pona, practicing and stuff. So here I have it written in total for the 8 days. I added up all of the time I invested in learning Toki Pona, and in total it's been 4 hours, 47 minutes, and 59 seconds. But that is the idea. So right now it's been 4 hours, 47 minutes, and that means that I'm what? Like, I'm really bad with maths. Well, what is it? An eighth of the way? Almost, right? A bit more than an eighth. Yeah, sorry for that. You probably know the answer. But yeah, either way, so I'm not even halfway through, and I want to say, like, learning this language is so satisfying, like, honestly, because the idea is that there's only 120 words, well, some people say it's 123, because 3 words were added since the original Toki Pona, but yeah, like, let's just say it's 120 for simplicity, so 120 words, right, and the combination of all of these words can allow us to express a lot of different things. It's just a combination and it's very context dependent. It can be very ambiguous. And I actually was reading some blog posts about it and I was seeing some kind of criticism against Toki Pona. Like some people say, yeah, it's a cool idea, but I can't express myself fully because it's too simplistic. And well, that's the beauty of it. You're allowed to express things in a way that the interpreter can just, you know, reason through their beliefs and reason through their way of seeing the world and perceiving the situation, and they can add their own meaning. And that is an interesting concept because some people might say, okay, no, but it doesn't make sense because I'm trying to mean something specific and the other person interprets a whole nother thing. But Toki Pona takes that veil out of language, right? In language, when we speak, when I'm speaking and you're listening, as I speak, I think you understand what I'm saying. But honestly, you're just listening to what I'm saying through all of your life experiences, through the context you're in right now, and through everything that you've gone through. So what you perceive is not necessarily the same as what I say. But we're not very clear on that when we speak English or any other language that is very well known and spoken in several places, and especially when there's a lot of us speaking it and there's very strict rules on how to speak it. But in Toki Pona, we now know that there's a nonverbal agreement that whatever I say might not be exactly, whatever you hear might not be exactly what I say. So that is quite interesting. I mean, it allows us to be more understanding of the fact that, okay, maybe I don't understand fully what you're saying very specifically, but I believe I can, and let me tell you what I perceive. And now it's a much more interesting conversation. When it comes to the criticism of Toki Pona being a language that is too simplistic, I just want to explain a bit of that concept of simplicity versus complexity. I think it applies amazingly well to Toki Pona because it's a very simple language, right? And sometimes when we talk about complexity, it almost sounds like it's it's better, right? But it's not the case, because complex things, usually it's a bit easier to create complex things. I mean, it's easy to just put a pile of papers in your desk and sort it out later, right? That's easy. But your system of organization becomes very complex, because now going through all your papers is really hard. Whereas if you have a very simple system where every piece of paper goes in its place, you can, it takes more work, which means it's harder to get there, but it will be better in the long run. So we should not confuse, well, a couple of things. We should not confuse simplicity with easy, right? I mean, it's not easy to create something simple, and it's not like complex things are always harder or better, right? And another thing, because I was talking about this with my girlfriend, who's also learning Takipona, that's really cool, because now I can get to practice it with someone. Otherwise, it's quite hard to, you know, to practice and to try to implement it in real life if you don't have someone to talk to. So I highly recommend, if you're learning Takipona right now, learn it with someone else, practice it with someone else, get someone involved. I'm sure you have a friend that is probably interested in language. And yeah, I mean, I think convincing someone of learning Takipona, someone you know, is a lot easier than convincing them of learning Esperanto. I mentioned in previous episode that I'm learning Esperanto as well, and Esperanto takes a bit more time, it takes a bit more dedication, and it has a very, you know, like it has this goal of being the world's second language, right? Everyone's second language or auxiliary language, like a second or third language that if we all had in common, we could all communicate. Tokipona is not that ambitious in the sense that it wants to become the universal language like Esperanto. Tokipona has more the ideal of, well, the concept of simplifying our thoughts. If we are able to express feelings, emotions, thoughts, ideas in simpler terms, in simple words, then maybe our mind can declutter a little bit. And that's what I talked about in the previous episode, that Tokipona is inspired by the Tao Te Ching, this ancient text of philosophy that inspired the religion of Taoism and the philosophy of Taoism. So its core is to be in the present moment. Its core is to simplify things to what is essential. So that is a really important aspect of it. And going back to the idea of how Takipona works in the structure, right? How we can express things. We start wondering, okay, I get it. It's 120 words. It's only, I believe it's 14 letters. How am I supposed to express things, like more complicated things? Even something as simple as the word car, right? We all know the word car, like it's just this thing that we use to drive and move around. Everyone knows it. It's a three-letter word, very easy to say. We all know it, right? But in Takipona, there's only 120 words, and car is not one of them. So you have to get a bit more creative. You have to analyze what is the situation like. What is the context you're in right now? And what does the car mean to you in the moment? And that sounds strange, because we don't do that in English or in other languages. I mean, some languages have these kind of things, but it's not always the case, or we're not always aware of it. So I have a really cool example that is from the book, the official Pu book, which is, it just means the official Takipona book by Sonia Lang, the creator of Takipona. And she talks about the idea of, okay, there are a few ways to say car, but you have to consider from whose point of view is being said. So for instance, from a passenger's point of view, it would be tomo tawa. Tomo means house or indoors, a place where you're indoors. So it could be a house or a building or something like that. And tawa means movement, move towards something, going towards something, right? So when you say tomo tawa, you're literally saying an indoor compartment that moves, right? And that's what a car is. So that's pretty interesting. But that is from the passenger's point of view. Now, if we were to describe it from the driver's point of view, the driver might say ilo tawa. Ilo means machine or equipment or, yeah, one of those. Yeah. And tawa means, again, like something that's going, something that's moving, going somewhere, right? So ilo tawa would be machine for going. And finally, say, the book gives this really cool example of what would someone who just got hit by a car would say? How would they describe the car? And they might say kiwen tawa. And that would mean a hard object that moves. So that's interesting, because now it's this machine, this, well, this actually hard object that is moving towards me and it hit me. So it's a hard object because I felt it being hard, right? So it's those kind of things. So it's really interesting how you can form ideas together. I was when I started learning Tokipona, I was actually in the beach. I was in vacations and I started reading a few blog posts and I was, I was just like researching about Esperanto. I found this meme that compared different constructed languages and I found about Tokipona. So I was in the ocean, right? In the beach. And I was with my girlfriend and we started to learn a little bit. And I asked her, how would you say ocean, right? Because there's no word for ocean. But there is a word for water or liquid, right? So that one is talo. And if you were to say ocean, you would have to say something like big water. So talo is water and suli means big or large or huge, right? Or vast or anything like that. So talo suli would mean ocean. And it's those type of things. So yeah, I'm just loving it. I can already start seeing how the way I perceive objects is interesting. Like even when I think in English or Spanish, which is my first language, I try to identify objects for what they are, not for what their name is. So like a bottle of water is more of a container of water, which if I translate it into Tokipona in my brain right now, I think it would be poquitalo, I think, because poqui is kind of like a pocket or a drawer or a box or a container, and talo is water, right? Is it poqui or Pooky? I think it's Pucky. Yeah, I'll have to check on that one. But either way, it's those type of ideas, right? I gave the example as in last episode, something like seafood. Food is moku and sea is talo. So you could say talo moku, or you could even say, yeah, well, talo moku literally would mean food of water. Or you could say kala moku. Kala means fish and moku means food. Right, so you could say it in two different ways. You could probably say anything in a variety of ways, and that's what makes it interesting. So you can really see your thought process when you come up with a word. I mean, you don't come up with it; it already exists. But your process to get you there is really interesting, and is a very interesting way to explore the way you think and in the way you perceive things. So that is where I'm at right now. I know quite a few words. I mean, out of the 120, I would say I know 30, 40 maybe, kind of well. Like if I see it written, I can identify it. But yeah, I mean, I still have a bit of a way to go. It's only been a week, well, eight days. And yeah, what was it? Like 4 hours, 48 minutes. So yeah, I still have more time to invest in order to get some fluency. And yeah, hopefully, well, I don't think by next week I'll be able to speak fully in Tokipona, but I don't know, let's give it a couple of weeks and let's see where that takes us. But I hope you're excited about that. I just want to conclude this episode saying thank you so much for listening. I also want to invite you to form part of this podcast. I want to build this community of all of us Tokipona speakers. And I want to get us all together and doing something meaningful for the language so that new people can start learning it as well, so that we can, you know, form a community, talk among us. So yeah, I welcome you to, if you want, you could just host an episode in this podcast. So message me, tell me what's the topic you want to talk about. And if you have a microphone of your own, or you can even do it in your phone, you can just either read something that you've written, read a story that you like, a poem, anything you like, and I can put your audio in this podcast. So that'd be really cool. If you're a bit shy about doing that type of thing, you can always just write something, translate something that you find interesting, and I can read it here. Yeah, anything like that. So yeah, just that's about it. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to form part of the podcast, you can either do it like that, or I would truly appreciate it if you can support me on Patreon. I have the links in the bio, sorry, in the show notes. Because yeah, this podcast is fully done by me. I don't have any sponsors. I don't put advertisement because I don't want to do that at the moment. I don't know what the trajectory of this podcast will be in ways of making it sustainable, but two ways you can help: either supporting me on Patreon, where you can have exclusive access to all the resources that I compile and interesting things to help you learning Tokipona. And yeah, you can just help me maintain this, keep this thing going, or you can just participate for part of the podcast, reach out to me and, you know, like contribute somehow if you want to form part of the, the podcast and have an episode of your own. That is a really good way to keep this podcast going. Or if you want to help me translate something, just reach out. In any way you want to contribute, just reach out. I truly appreciate any type of contribution. And yeah, that's about it. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And I'll catch up with you in the next week. Hopefully my Tokipana will improve by then. But until then, I hope you have a great day. And I'll see you next week.